Okay, good morning, folks, and welcome back. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, I hope, at least. And this is Mark Call, one of your two Colorado-based hosts. I've been trying to get David Justice online and Skype, and this is going to come as a shock to regular listeners, I know. Skype is behaving like a Microshaft product. And I had problems with connection to me, and I can't get David to connect either. So we'll see if we can get that fixed, if he can reboot his system, and we'll get in. But in any case, we got lots to talk about today, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to get all of us on board. Let me try him again one more time, or okay, he's rebooting his Skype. We'll see if that fixes the problem at his end. What you got to do sometimes is just kill this Skype process and restart it, and about half the time it'll actually restart and work. In any case, it's been one of those weeks, quite a busy week, a whole lot of things happening, and I was hoping that maybe David had something that was at the top of his list that we want to start with, but I guess what I'm going to do is to start with a story that came out late Thursday, actually came out earlier in the day, but it was kind of fascinating to see how it played out. The speaker for the traitors, and yep, that term is again appropriate, the guy who sold out the Republicans that finally caved and allowed him in a position of power that he obviously wasn't fit to handle. Well, he did it again. He decided to cancel votes for the rest of the week and send lawmakers home, or at least that's the story, after a revolt by the House Freedom Caucus. The 11 members that essentially allowed him to take the office anyway because he promised he wouldn't do what he's been doing, they banded together, it says, to grind proceedings to a halt in protest of his cave last week. And so he sent them home. Now, what's interesting to me, and this came from multiple sources, but primarily originally from Hal Turner's radio show, and he basically just said, look, if we understand what's happening here and the fact that the Senate was issued satellite phones last week, there's a major NATO exercise that seems designed to poke the bear again, maybe kick off World War III. I've reported earlier in the week on a number of stories coming out of the World War III front. Obviously, you had the destruction of the dam in Ukraine that was being blamed on the Russians, who had no reason to do it because their troops are downriver, and it hurts them a lot worse than it hurts anybody else. So it looks like it was an act by Ukraine. Wouldn't be the first time that we've seen lies printed about that. But perhaps the most damning thing of the week was a story that I first heard through John Moore. Looks like there are confirmations of it. A lot of airplanes that were in mothballs at the storage area in the desert outside of Tucson at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And cost about $1 million apiece to bring the Hercules C-130s and other aircraft that have been mothballed back online, put the fluids back in them, check them out, put new tires on them if they need it, and all that kind of jazz. And there have been lots and lots of planes that have been taken out of mothballs and sent back into a battle somewhere. Some evidently to the east, some to the west. Those that are going east, you can guess. Going to the west looks like it's the Chinese front in the Civil War. I'm sorry, Civil War here, World War III abroad. So let me see if I can't get David back. We just don't have him on here. Yeah, give me just a second, folks. I'm going to have to try to do something I don't do very often. I'll restart this call. Okay. Hey, David, do we have you?
I'm here.
All right. Good. You were having similar problems to what I was having this morning, and I had to restart Skype at this end as well. What a wonderful tool. I guess as we get closer and closer to a communist state and more of the back doors are put in and being exercised, we see more and more issues. And it's interesting, folks. There have been a whole lot of things I've seen, not just tools online here, but indications that, yeah, there looks like there's some false flags afoot with the power grid. A lot of things, in other words, people ought to be paying attention to and saying, hey, be alert, be watchful, because something is up. Anyway, good morning, David. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing particularly well this morning. Very focused, very awake, very aware, very present. I'm in the fight. I'm in the battle. And I look forward to a victory.
All right. Well, that's good. And it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. So let me ask you this question. As I was trying to get you online, I started with a story about the Speaker for the Traitors, Kevin McCarthy, having thrown a tantrum and allegedly sent all the lawmakers home. The scuttlebutt from those that are paying attention says, no, I don't think they went home at all. I think they went into their bunkers and they're bracing for whatever it is that they think is coming, because they've got some things on the skillet here. But well, you can comment on that if you'd like to, or if there's something else that you say we need to start off with, go ahead.
Well, let's just start off with treason, and let's not mince words. The Durham report clearly demonstrated, upon investigation, that multiple members, Department of Justice, intelligence, Hillary Clinton, Adam Schiff, others were directly involved with treason, but he did not bring indictments. But he brought enough evidence to indict, which I find very interesting. And the idea that if we can't go to the Department of Justice, if we can't go to the FBI, that leaves us in a predicament where the only ones that can try these people are military tribunals. And so I have to hold on to the idea and hope that Trump set something in place before he left office, because we're here in the last hour, and I am praying against the treasonous individuals that literally, for the love of money and power and position, sold America for a mess of pottage. And I'm going to comment too. I'm really sick of hearing Christians say that we should pray for our leaders when they're guilty of treason. I think if anything, we should be praying for their demise and undermining, that these people would be exposed and be brought into the light. And if Christians are waiting for Jesus to come back and sort this thing out, well, we don't deserve it. And, you know, we need to stop looking for his second coming and start standing up and being Americans.
Okay. Well,
I'm in that kind of a mood today.
I agree with you. And by the way, I've said this for a long, long time. He ain't going to come from the swamp when he returns anyway. But I was thinking as you were talking about a prayer that our late beloved friend and co-host Randy Yarborough used to frequently mention, and we haven't mentioned it in a while here. But if you want to pray for our leaders, pray Psalm 109. I encourage folks to go read it. Starts out saying, "Do not keep silent, O Elohim of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me." Yeah, they've cut me off of Twitter, to Facebook. They've been lying and so forth. It's interesting, but it proceeds to this. This is probably the key part of the whole thing as far as praying for leaders is concerned. Verse 8 says, when it comes to those folks, quote, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beggars. Let them seek their bread also from the desolate places, and let the creditor seize all that he has. Let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, and nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children." And then from there, it gets even worse. But this is the kind of thing that David, who is essentially a model, if you will, the line of the Messiah, has indicated to us, that when you see this level of perfidy and treason, and people that are just plain clearly without question serving not the God of the Bible, they put their hand on it and they lied, they're serving the bad guy, the adversary, Ha-Satan. And you're right, we needn't mince words anymore. I think more and more Americans have awakened to that. Let me throw out one more thing and I'll take it back to you. But you started off by talking about Durham and the report, where essentially what he said was, hey, there's all kinds of evidence of treason, high crimes, misdemeanors, you name it, folks. They've done it. We've got tons of evidence, but I'm not going to indict. And because, you know, and all of a sudden I began to remember what another criminal in a high office, the Hormeister at the head of the FBI, James Comey, once said, after he said, oh, we got plenty of evidence to indict Hillary Clinton. But hey, you know what? There's no prosecutor here that's got a death wish that would want to actually pursue the case. So that's why we're not going to actually pursue any high crimes and misdemeanors, impeachment, or treason charges against these people that have so clearly done it. And that ought to upset folks. Go ahead, David.
Well, and it should upset folks that we have a bunch of cowards pointed to positions of so-called leadership. Let me make a distinction here, because this is really important. Because we're not like other nations. America is founded under a covenant with our Father. It is founded on the principles where the people who are members of the sovereign body politic of Christ are the sovereign of this country. When we say pray for our leaders, we're talking about us. We're the leaders. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, it's fit for nothing but to be trampled underfoot of men. And if you look across the landscape of this country, that's exactly what's happening. We've let our light go out. We've let our salt become ineffective, and we're a bunch of limp-wristed, weak-kneed, put-your-arm-around the first LGBTQ person that comes along just to make peace. But Yeshua said, don't think I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring sword, because that's what the truth does. It cuts. And see, we're afraid to tell the truth. The truth is these bastards are not our leaders. These bastards are working for the International Monetary Fund, the global bankers. They are not leaders. They are our public servants. And see, we keep forgetting that. We look to these people as our leaders, and then we promote them, and then we give our consent for their treason by remaining silent. And that's why we're under their thumb. It's time for us to stand up and call it for what it is. Tell the truth, and let the truth do its work. Our prayers need to be precatory prayers. We need public servants who are willing to serve the sovereign, who is our King Yeshua, and we, as his kings of the King, are the American ideology. That's what America is founded on. And the fact that it's not being taught in the church institutions is direct evidence that our churches have sold out to the institutions of this world, and the churches and the institutions are of this world. And they've betrayed us. So we can't even pray for our church leaders, because they've already shown their colors, because they've led us down this path to where they've created confusion and darkness. And we're all divided. You know, and a nation divided against itself cannot stand. And yet the church has been effective in dividing us. Now let me reconcile this, and then I'll yield back to you. Yeshua said, don't think I've come to bring peace, but a sword. In other words, division. And yet our churches are operating in division, and they're supposed to be operating as one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one nation under God, e pluribus unum, we the people, the many is one, and we've got all of our priorities mixed up. We can't figure out what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be an apostle, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, which is sovereign in America. And that little element there is the why we're in such disarray and why we're in so much trouble right now. That has what has brought us to this. We're living in the result of our rebellion, of our ignorance to who we are and what America is. That's what's missing. When we recover that and stand on that foundation, we will have the revival that so many churches wish we had. We will have the reunification with the Spirit of our Father, and in that Spirit, we will conquer. And that message is what's missing. Mark.
Okay. Well, a couple things. I guess the place where I think we need to go is some of the topical elements for this week, because you've laid out a whole bunch of treason in a whole bunch of areas. I was actually going to start in another direction, but I'm going to go here instead. Because this story came out, it's not the first time we've heard this. Some of us have talked about the clergy response team for a long time. These are whores. These are sellouts. These are people that are leading the sheep in the wrong direction, that to masquerade as licensed 501c3 pastors, for what I refer to as, because as does Scripture, as the whore church. and they are basically leading the their sheep to slaughter. Anyway, there was a there's a story that came out this week about the so-called Pride Month. Now, as I know we've talked about this before, Jonathan Cahn wrote a book that's rightfully getting a lot of press during this month because they're saying June is Pride Month. Well, June is the month where the goddess of pride, Easter, Ishtar, Astarte, Ashtaroth, who is a transgendered you name it, folks, pervert, but literally a satanic element of something that has no place in America anymore. Well, okay, so the point of Khan's book is the return of the gods is saying, yeah, that's essentially what we're worshiping here. Here's the story, though, from the last couple of days. There is an organization called the Interfaith Alliance. They're extremely far left. They're Marxist. They number among them so-called Christian churches, yeah, sure, synagogues, Muslims, Hindus, all of them basically trying to, push this month Faith for Pride. Yeah, we have faith in a different God. We know his name. He's got a lot of them. He's Legion. But anyway, their Faith for Pride initiative from the Interfaith Alliance is all about pushing how if we have faith in that fake God, then we're proud. And I did the entire show yesterday, Come Out of Her, My People, on the fact that pride goeth before a fall. There's nowhere in Scripture where pride applied to mankind is anything other than utterly evil. We can go through lots and lots of indications of proofs of that. But essentially, pride goeth before destruction, and haughtiness, which is another word in English for the same thing, goes before a fall. There are lots of indicators, like I said. But that is, that's one of the elements, that the whore church is out there pushing pride. And honestly, folks, I would say this, if you have a whore pastor, and I'm trying to be kind, right, that is pushing pride and saying that, saying anything other than what Scripture says, a man lying with a man as with a woman is abomination to the Creator. And by the way, if you read it in the book, and I don't, it carries a death penalty. Doesn't say we have to do it, it just says it carries a death penalty. And by the way, science and statistics and life expectancy and disease and all these other things make that point real clear. Then come out of that church. Get the hell away from that church that's trying to destroy you and kill your kids too. Is that clear enough? Go ahead, David.
Well, you know, let's not mistake humility for doormat. Because I know that a lot of these churches, you know, these so-called pastors or ministers have infiltrated into the church. You know, Paul Harvey did this thing back in the 60s, I think it was, where he said if he was the devil, the first thing he would do is infiltrate the church. Well, you know, the evidence, you know, a tree is known by its fruit. If we think as disciples and believers and apostles and followers and members of the body of Christ are supposed to be doormats to where, you know, we're supposed to be walked all over, we don't understand the word humility. Okay, yes, pride goes before a fall. We're supposed to be walking under humility. Humility is power under control. Okay, we have been, our King has all been given all power in heaven and on earth, and that has been delegated to us. Right? So inside that capacity, we are co-heirs, we are co-sovereigns with our King to the throne of the universe. And if we can't comprehend that, we haven't been really studying our Scripture. We don't know what the Bible actually says. Humility is power under control. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So nothing will be impossible for those who believe. These are power scriptures. All right. In juxtaposition, we've got a bunch of limp-wristed doormat churches that are going along with an agenda. Why? So that everybody will like them? So that they don't get their 501c3 revoked? Or they might offend somebody? You know, that's offensive. You know, Yeshua wasn't afraid of offending the so-called leaders of the day. He called them out. This is why they murdered him. If we remain silent, we're giving our consent. And they will murder us. They'll, for those who said appease to appease, they're hung by those they tried to please. We don't understand the march of Marxism. Anyone that cooperates with it ultimately gets thrown in under the bus if they have a shred of intelligence. because the intelligent people, the people that, that can make a difference, are the first ones to get murdered by the Marxist regime when it has fully taken over. And we are watching that regime dig in its talons right now in an attempt to force its will in, despite the Constitution, despite the rule of law in America. Its agenda is to subjugate and finish the job that they started when they committed treason against this country back in 1913, again in 1933, and most recently on November 3rd of 2020, and then January 6th. Okay, these are all the of Marxism. And the delusion is what they bring with them. And our job is to stand, and you're right, call out these pastors that are all weak in the knees and milquetoast and don't know how to tell the truth. We need to stand and call them out. And you know what? If it creates a division in the church, then create the division. But, you know, we're in the last hour.
It
is time to speak, and it's time to make our voice heard, Mark.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let me throw out the other item. I was actually going to start here, but we'll work up to it. You've used the word treason several times, and I guess this goes back to how you started off with whether or not the military is going to wake up in time or whether the military is already full of too many traitors to do any good. But there was something, if I had to pick a story this week that I think was the most infuriating, David, it's this one. United States Air Force. If you didn't see this, Paul Joseph Watson had it up on Summit News. They issued a graphic, and it says, Celebrate Pride Month. And the graphic shows a silhouetted individual, allegedly an Air Force person, he, she, it, she, they, who knows what the gender of this thing is, saluting the Pride flag. All right, along with, so the LGBTIAQ plus rainbow flag, along with the Air Force seal on this graphic. This is official crap, in other words. And the caption under it says, June is Pride Month. The Department of the Air Force proudly recognizes and celebrates generations of, well, perversion. Antithetical things to scripture. You know, stuff we put our hands on a Bible, took an oath to do, but screw you, America, and the horse you rode in on. We're not going to defend the borders. We're not going to honor our oath. We're going to do things that are abomination to the Creator. And oh yeah, if He chooses to destroy us, ha ha, we're rubbing His face in it. And honestly, David, I see this, and you're right, it infuriates me. Makes me think that if the Air Force thinks they can get away with this and not be smitten like they deserve to be by the Creator of the universe, well, maybe they're right. Maybe He doesn't exist. Maybe He isn't going to do anything. And honestly, I don't believe that for a second. That's not all, though. There was something called the Air Force Global Strike Command that basically parroted it and said, quote, our diversity is our competitive advantage. Yeah. So when the Communist Chinese and the Russians are laughing and basically saying your competitive advantage is going to get you put on the ash heap of history, you stupid dead blankety blanks you, because you can't fight a battle, you're too busy saluting the wrong flag. Now, what was also interesting, David, and a lot of military folks that are familiar with the UCMJ will know this, a soldier, sailor, Air Force pilot, Marine, you name it, is not supposed to, in uniform, salute anything other than the U.S. flag. So this is a violation right here. Not to mention it's a violation of their oath, and it's treason against the American people. But this is the kind of thing that is now going on, and you're right. What's infuriating is that we got too many blankety-blank and so-called pastors, elected officials, people in uniform that don't have the cojones to stand up and say, hell no, I didn't sign up for this. This is an act of war against the thing I took an oath before God to preserve, protect, and defend. And that takes us to the break. So we'll leave it there for now and be right back. Welcome back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show. Got yours truly, Mark Call and David Justice online. And honestly, folks, I think what we're both seeing, we talked about it just briefly during the break, is we're used to the fact that we see abominations. We're used to treason. We've seen it for a long time. But something about what's been happening of late, especially now that we're into this abomination before Yah month, of Junius, of a time where they come right out and celebrate a fake goddess and rub his nose in it. Something about that seems to have spun us both up. And, it's not that we haven't seen this coming, David. It's not that we didn't know about it. It's not that we haven't been aware of it. It's not that, there's anything that we didn't expect. It's just that somehow watching this play out and seeing dumbed down, stupid, asinine, not even sheep. These aren't sheep anymore, folks. These are literally things being led to the slaughter. You rocks, you stones, you worthless, senseless things, is how Shakespeare put it. We are seeing so much of this that I think we want to, if not scream and say, wake up before it's too late. No, it's already too late. Let's be real. Well, then we want to throw up our hands because the question is, what's it going to take for these people? And the answer, I think, David, is it's too late for most of them. They have had their delusions chosen. They're walking willingly to the slaughter. And eventually, when they realize they've been had, I guess they'll shake their fists at the creator of the universe. But we're getting closer by the day to that. Go ahead. Take us where you'd like and well, comment on any of this.
Let's distinguish too late, okay? It's never too late for truth. It's never too late for a victory. But if those people that have signed a death covenant with the devil, if you will, those that have given themselves over to a depraved mind, it's too late for them, and they're showing their colors. So for us to pray for them, I think we're wasting our breath. For us to pray, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and teaches us how to pray and what to say and where to stand and what to do. You know, reserve the prayers for the body of Christ to rise up and to expedite the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, which is the delegation of power we've been given for since Yeshua walked the planet, and it never changed. That there has been a final coup d'etat, and I say final because I could argue that the coup happened back in 1913 or 1933. Louis T. McFadden charged these people with treason, Federal Reserve System, and all of the congressmen and politicians that were going along to get along. All right, now here we are in this late hour going along to get along, and everybody is going along to get along, and therein lies the problem. We want to pray for our enemies, but we don't understand that these enemies are manifestations of the devil in the flesh. So they are beyond enemy. They're irredeemable. So rather than try to go along and be friendly and just, you know, play patty cake with these lesbians and gay transvestites who, if you gave them a knife, they'd stab you in the back. You give them an inch and they've taken a mile, and if you continue to give them the mile that they've taken, they will take more. There is no stopping this Baphomet spirit that is raging across the country. It is hoping that somebody like Mark or I doesn't stand up and call them out. But we've got to stand up and call them out and take what is rightfully ours, which is earth. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. We have the most powerful thing in the universe, the most powerful spirit, the most powerful delegation of power given to each one of us as a co-member of the body of Yeshua. And if we don't understand that, we don't understand the gospel. It's not about dying and going to heaven. It never has been about dying and going to heaven. Salvation is not about dying and going to heaven. Salvation is about restoring us to our rightful capacity in our relationship with our Father in heaven. And as co-creators, Christs as co-messiahs with our chief Messiah, the firstborn among many, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things includes taking this planet, taking back our dominion that was given to us as a mandate from the book of Genesis, and again from Messiah. So we are the problem, okay? The result of we being negligent, the result of we being ignorant, the result of we being in rebellion, the result of we not understanding the covenant with our Father, that is the problem. This is why changing our mindset is the remedy. And to the degree that we change our mindset, we will begin to see the power of our Father unfold in our lives and make the difference on this planet. So, I don't know, maybe it's taking us to be backed into a corner before we finally cry out on our knees and say, Father, what?
Okay.
And I really think that may be what we're experiencing. Mark, you and I are arriving here at the same place where, okay, I'm just done. And it's time to speak and act and be who it is we are called to speak, act, and be, Mark.
Okay. Well, and certainly there have been a lot of us, and I would say that those that are, for the most part, listening to this station and recognizing what's going on are at the vanguard of that for a long time. But I like your term, change the mindset, because this is the story. I pulled it up during the break. Came out in the last 24 hours after the puppet in the White House proclaimed the largest pride celebration on behalf of the fake goddess and against the God of the Bible in the history of a once free nation. And it says the following: the Biden Fuhrer, and you notice I changed the one word because I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use the title that he never earned and stole. The Biden Fuhrer warned Thursday about, quote, ugly attacks from hysterical people. That would be anybody that can read scripture, who are targeting, you're supposed to target white people, people that believe in the Bill of Rights, people that serve that God that's not welcome in America anymore. No, people who are targeting LGBTQ plus Americans, as he announced new measures intended to, get this is unbelievable, to curb book bans. Now, the only book that can be banned, of course, is the Bible and anything that they don't like. And they can ban you from all these social media platforms and the press, but a book ban that they don't want to have is if there's a book about fisting and anal intercourse in a preschool curriculum, that is fine. And because we have to groom these little kids, we got to get them convinced before they get to puberty, or we'll put puberty blockers in them and delay it, that they need to cut off their genitalia. So he says he wants to curb any book bans that would stop that, their grooming, and rising hate crimes. What's a hate crime? Well, a hate crime is anything except killing people that they hate. Quote, and this is from the Biden Fuhrer, we have some hysterical, and I would argue prejudiced people engaged in targeting LGBTQ people, said the Biden Fuhrer. It's an appeal to fear. And now listen to this. I'm going to read this carefully. It's an appeal to fear, and it's appeal that is totally, thoroughly unjustified. Ugly, he said. And let me ask, who are we supposed to fear? The God of the Bible, essentially, not these people. And I think that's an interesting distinction. But then he goes on to say this. He criticized a flurry of Republican bills that he said were targeting the community and preventing what are called gender health care initiatives. In other words, targeting and grooming of young kids before they know what it is that those things that they're having cut off were for. And he said this, these are our kids. No, they're not yours, parents. These are our neighbors. It's cruel. It's callous. They're not somebody else's kids. They're all, mine, our kids, he said during the news conference. They are coming right out. Again, I think this is part of the reason why we're so angry. We've gotten used to the fact that they commit treason and lie about it. Now they're committing treason and saying, ha-ha, what are you going to do about it? These aren't your kids. We've proven that. We can do anything we want to them. We can groom them. We can cut off your little girl's breasts. We can take them. We can inject them. We can kill them. They're our kids. They're not yours. Don't you get it? And I guess the answer is maybe a few people are starting to figure it out. Go ahead, David.
Well, first of all, you talk about this Biden Fuhrer. This is a pathetic excuse for a man. He's not a man. He's a pathetic excuse for a, I can't think of a word low enough to describe Joe Biden. He's not running this country. We're being mocked and we're being ridiculed by Obama, by Clinton, by Soros. There's a committee of people that are guilty of human trafficking and pedophilia. And these are the people that are hiding behind Joe Biden. And they're going to throw him under the bus the first chance he gets, they get. And this idea, and I know this because Michelle Obama is a tranny and everybody knows it. You know, we're being groomed as a people to accept this laying down. And so they want to raise their voice and put us back in our place and call us haters because we desire to tell the truth. And they'll go, well, that's your truth and that's relative and subjective. You know what? That's another thing that they're doing is they've taken the truth and they've diminished it to just an opinion. And it's they've marginalized us. And unfortunately, the churches have gone along with this because they've become doormats to the globalist agenda. And for the most part, going along to get along. And I gotta, you know, I'm gonna call it out from the beginning. It begins in the Catholic Church, which is full of pedophilia. But oh no, we all look at Holy Mother Church and not realize that she's the mother of harlots and abominations of this planet, you know, and it's been going on for a long time. And but it's worse than that even. You know, this Judeo-Christian church has become a satanic church, and it is, you know, Scripture talks about the delusion shall be so great that even the very elect could be deceived. Well, oh my God, that delusion set up camp right in the institution that we've gone to be fed truth. And see, that you won't hear this message inside one of the institutions because it would cost them dearly, and because they've sold their soul for a mess of pottage, they won't go along. They won't say these things that you and I are talking about today. And therein lies the problem, is so many people have put their trust and hope and faith in these institutions. And these institutions have gladly taken their money. You can come in here and pray, and you can come in here and pay, but you have no say. In other words, if you try to vocalize your perspective and understanding or try to solicit, well, what about this part of the Bible? You'll learn real quick that you get the left boot of fellowship. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have more than likely experienced that.
Okay.
But anyway, so going back to the Biden fury, just and then I'll hand it back to you. The truth got our master, our savior, our brother, our God, our king, crucified. And if we're not willing to stand in that spirit and suffer the same persecution that he did, then we're not worthy. And he's the one that told us that. When the people came and said, what must we do? He says, well, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in me. And everybody left because it was too hard of a teaching. But what he's saying is you've got to be one with me. You've got to, you know, my words are life, and my words and your words have to become one and the same. We put on the whole mantle, the Ephesians, the armor of God, and we walk in that, and that is where the power and the spirit that no weapon forged by man can prevail against. And when we walk in that capacity, we come into the fullness of who we are, and amazing things happen. And it's not just about speaking in tongues or having some cool little spiritual gift. It's about walking in the fullness of the Creator in our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, Mark.
Okay, and certainly I agree with that. But here's the thing, David, and as I was listening, and we've been talking about these things this morning, most of the listeners, I'm certainly thinking along the same lines, all right, we've heard that most of our lives, honestly, and that has kind of rolled off of people like water off a duck's back, if you think about it. Oh, yes, I believe. Oh, yes, I will walk. Although, you know, my pastor is pushing this abomination, and I'm not willing to even so much as stand up and say, hey, you lying sack of manure, why are you preaching something antithetical to Scripture? In other words, I'm not willing to get up off of, yeah, you've heard this too, my blessed assurance, and say, I'm not putting up with this crap. I'm not going to give my money to a whore church. Why would I be joined to a harlot? What fellowship has light with darkness? How many times have we heard this and not done anything about it? We're seeing at least a few positive things. So what I want to do is ask the question, what can people do? What should they do now that they haven't done yet, but that for crying out loud, it's about time? And answer, okay, I've said this, but I think it bears repeating. If you got a whore preacher up there who is standing by silently even and giving tacit approval to a satanic pride event and saying, well, we don't care what the scripture says. We don't care what the one we claim as our savior says. We're just going to stand here and allow this to happen. If they want to take our kids, hey, he said better that a millstone be put around their necks. I'm saying it's okay. Little Billy, little Johnny, the Biden Fuhrer wants to come and take their breasts off and call it health care. We're okay with that. No, we're not. Okay, so get the hell out of the whore church. But, you know, there's more, David, and there are things that people can do, and I think a few Americans are waking up to it. For example, there was a memo this week out of Target, one of the most satanic retail stores on the planet. They have been pushing transgender crap for a long time. They put out a memo internally called Threat Overview. It went viral on the web. They called Target customers who dare to oppose their satanic agenda extremists. And they basically are saying, you know, the hell with you, customers. Well, what customers need to say is the hell with you, Target. You're not taking us to hell. We're not going to allow you to sell this crap to our kids. We're not going to darken your door anymore. And we're not going to drink your Bud Light Kool-Aid either. So that's part of it. And I guess what I'm suggesting on all these fronts, David, is people, having finally had enough, need to actually say, you know what? I can do something about it. Even if it's as simple as saying, I'm never going to go into a Target store again. Never going to have a Bud Light in my refrigerator. Not going to deal with any of these with Kohl's or any of the other criminally evil organizations that are supporting this ESG, this communist agenda. And by the way, if I've got kids, I'm not going to allow their genitalia to be cut off. I'm not going to let them be put into a military that doesn't defend the United States, but instead is going to teach them that you're nothing but a lump of protoplasm. And, you know, transgender is just as good as what the God of the Bible says, because we got a different God in this man's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. We need to say hell no to all of it. And it's past time. Go ahead, David.
Well, I'm going to take the word extreme. One of the primary tools of the enemy is gaslighting and projecting. What they do is they project onto us the very thing that they're being. So, and then they place us over on the side of evil when in fact they're walking in evil. So when we get accused of being extreme, understand that that's a degree that they've walked away from reality. And they're extreme, but they're projecting it on us in a relative sense because we're not going out there with them. So we're extreme. Well, I'm extreme in that I want to know the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. The truth and understanding are the two most important things in my life. And if they want to, being extreme in that, it's only to the degree that they've walked away from it. So there is an extreme distance between them and I, and they are calling that out. But we've got to decide where is the rock, where is the foundation of reality with which we stand. Now, keep in mind, and a good friend reminds me of this constantly, John D. Rockefeller. He took over the pharmaceutical industries. He took over the seminaries. And what's been coming into the pulpits of America and the world is a form of godliness, but denies the power of our Father. So we have form without substance. And as long as we're walking in form without substance, then we have no significance. We have no relevance. We have no purpose. And that might be what a lot of people are feeling when they go looking for the purpose. So they're looking for the substance, but they've been being fed form. So we have this form of a gospel. We have this form of a church, you know, and people go through the form and it's a skeleton. There's no meat on it. There's no substance. Again, extreme, anyone walking, coming into the truth and manifesting the power of the Spirit is going to be extreme relative to a world of darkness. That's why we're called the light of the world. And see, the darkness hates the light. There it is. So to the degree that you're walking in light, You will be hated. You will be mocked and ridiculed. So toughen up, bro some, put the armor of our Father on, and be what it is we've been called to be. And again, this is the remedy of how we get order back out of chaos. Because that's really what it's about. First order of business is to establish order from chaos. And if we go through, I can show you many times in Scripture where, you know, for God so loved the world, you know, it's about order. And that's what Yeshua is about. That's what the church is about. And so if they want to call order extremism, then I'm the biggest extremist there is, Mark.
Okay. Well, as I'm listening and thinking about how do we wrap up the show today, you know, it's hard to top that from the standpoint of an understanding. And you're correct. So extremism and the defense of liberty is no vice. I'm remembering things that Barry Goldwater once said. It wasn't necessarily from a faith perspective, the real faith, the faith in the right God, as opposed to a fake one that's a transgender goddess. But it still leaves us with this question of, you know, where are we at? What do average Americans, those that are listening, need to do? I reject the idea that this is going to be fixed by an election, because they've rigged elections. They've shown that. They have shown that essentially they've got the plans for a world war in place, a civil war in place, the military. I guess maybe we disagree on that. I hope I'm wrong. But the military certainly doesn't seem to be willing to stand up against it. When push comes to shove, they're not supporting the God of the Bible. They're basically saying he can go take it and pound sand. We don't care about him at all. We're going to do whatever he says and take the opposite of it, calling evil good and good evil. Folks, if you go back and you read scriptural history, what you find is that those who put their faith in the arm of men in flesh end up finding out that was wrong. And usually they find out pretty dramatically. So we're seeing so many things here that are essentially saying we need to be prepared for something truly ugly and truly evil. I guess that's the message that today I would warn people about. When a Pride Month like this comes to a climax, you have to wonder what will it look like. And by the way, the scripture tells us, Isaiah 66, we've talked about this, that he will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Because when he called, no one answered. They chose that in which he did not delight. They chose pride in themselves and in a fake God and goddess. So what does that leave for the rest of us? Well, be a really, really aware of what's happening this month. And I guess this is a story, David. I just saw it last night, too. Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO. You guys say, what has this got to do with anything? They have now started releasing quietly, secretly, China Daily. They're upset about it. They have come out with it. The unilateral decision by Japan and TEPCO to dump more than 1.3 million metric tons of radioactive water into the ocean via a secret tunnel that they've been building for several years. It's going to be filled with more than 6,000 tons of seawater by earlier this week. And basically, they're pumping this radioactive water into the ocean. Now, the nearby nations are saying, we don't like this. But what are they going to do? Bomb Japan with nukes? Hard. Hey, thanks, folks. Shabbat shalom.